We talked about Cain and Abel in 1 John chapter 3. Amen. And now I want to move on into the fourth chapter of 1 John. 1 John has five chapters, and I want to move into the fourth chapter. And again, we've gone through these chapters and verses, and we have not covered everything exhaustively. There's so much here. Praise God. Hallelujah. But go to the fourth chapter of 1 John, and I want to begin reading at the very first verse of 1 John chapter 4. There's one word that stands out. It says, beloved. Beloved. Amen. Say, that's me.
Amen.
Amen. God is talking to us this evening. Beloved, listen at this. Do not believe every spirit. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Hallelujah. There are many spirits in the world. There are good spirits and there are bad ones, in many different ways. They're bad. Thank God for his holy angels. Amen. That we cannot see with our natural eye, but yet they are here. Amen. They're all around us. Praise God. I thank God that they're in this sanctuary tonight. Amen. Praise God. Not only are the angels here that we cannot see, but the Spirit of the living God is here. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. One of the biggest weapons, and I probably wouldn't be wrong if I said the biggest weapon, that the enemy uses against the church is the weapon of deception. Amen. Deceiving people into believing or receiving something that's not true. That's not the real thing. And of course, we see this with Eve. The devil deceived her and he lied to her. He deceived her, and you know the story. He deceived her into eating the fruit that God Almighty, the creator of all things, told them not to eat. And they knew that. Adam knew it. Eve knew it. No, don't eat that fruit. God said don't do it. And you know, sometimes we just need to leave it the way it is. If God said don't do it, what? Don't do it. But the enemy can come and deceive God's people by telling them lies. Lies about God. Lies concerning the Word of God. And if he came to you, I won't say you, if he came to anyone looking like the devil and you recognize him as the devil, you're not going to fall for it. So what he has to do is attempt to deceive in order to trip us up. You still here? So you see, the Word of God tells us here, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because what? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And I've been saved a long time, and I thank God for that. I'm not ashamed of it. Glory to God. I've been saved a long time. I've experienced a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things. Sometimes you hear people say, thus saith the Spirit of the Lord. Or they'll say, the Spirit says. Now let me stop right there, because I don't want to mess you up. If someone says, thus saith the Spirit of the Lord, it very may well may be the Spirit of the Lord. Right? If someone says, God says, it very well may be God speaking, the Spirit of God speaking. But we need to do what the Word of God says. It says, don't believe every spirit, but we ought to do what? Test the spirits. Test the spirits. Whether they are of God, because it could be of God. God speaks to us through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of those things are real, those things are genuine, and the body of Christ needs the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate. Amen. Amen. If they were not to be used, they would not be there, available to that's fine, because $100 bill can buy you some food or pay a bill. You understand what I'm saying? But how many of you know that there are counterfeit $100 bills out there? You will not find a counterfeit $11 bill or a counterfeit $12 bill. You know why? Because you're going to recognize it right away. This is fake. This is fake. But people that would try to deceive you would try to give you a counterfeit $100 bill. It's fake. It's a lie. But it looks like the real thing. Until there's close examination. Because it can look like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. Therefore, the real thing is going to have some qualities that the counterfeit does not have.
Amen.
Amen. I chuckle. I was reading something, and this minister made the statement, and he was talking about counterfeit things also. And he said that he had gone in a store one time and walking by, and he spoke to what he thought was a real person. Come to find out it was a mannequin. At first glance, it looked like a real person. But under close examination, he found out this looks like a person, but it don't have the qualities that a person has. It is lifeless. So we are to test the spirit. One of the ways to do that, first of all, find out if it lines up with the word of God. If somebody prophesying something to you, which means you need to know what the word of God says, right? But if somebody prophesying to you or saying, thus saith the Lord to you, and they're telling you something that goes crosswise, the Bible crosswise, what the word of God says, don't receive it. Amen. Amen. Well, you might say, yeah, but I know them. They are amazingly accurate in what they're saying. Accuracy ain't good enough. Does it line up with the word of God? Somebody may prophesy to you and tell you, well, you know, sister, you're supposed to marry this brother or that brother. Well, sister, you better know for yourself. You better spend some time with God for yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Because we have to understand that there are spirits of deception out there. There's familiar spirits that knows everything about you. And a person that's open to familiar spirits can receive that spirit or hear from that spirit and tell you what you had for breakfast. Tell you how much money you got in your pocketbook. And also tell you to cough it all up and give it to them. We as people of God must be wise. We must be full of God's word. Now, again, thank God for prophecy. Glory to God. I've had people speak into my life that's been an absolute blessing to me, and I thank God for it. Amen? So I don't want it to look like I'm anti-gifts of the Holy Spirit or I am anti-prophecy. I am not, because if I was, then I would be going against the word of God. But because we are in this world and not of this world, we must be wise. We must be sharp.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you've heard me say this before. If something is spoke to me, and if I am not sure if it's God, or not. You don't have to move like that. Just wait. Pray about it. You pray about it until you get a peace in your own on the inside of you, knowing that, yeah, this is God. This is what God is saying to me. Amen. So anyway, let me read first verse again. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world to deceive people. Now, guys upstairs, give me Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. Well, let me turn there myself. Praise God. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus was concerned about this. Glory be to God. Matter of fact, I'm just going to begin reading at verse 1 of Matthew chapter 24. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Oh, by the way, Jesus was prophesying. He was telling them what was going to happen to the temple years before it happened. But you know what? It happened. Presently, there is no temple in Jerusalem. According to the word of God, and I believe God's word, there's going to be another temple built. As a matter of fact, the Antichrist, one day during the tribulation, is going to go into the temple, sit in the Holy of Holies, and proclaim himself God. You still with me? But Jesus said every stone is going to be thrown down, and it happened just the way he said it. Verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, by the way, the Mount of Olives is where he's going to step down. That's where he went up, and that's where he's coming back. Amen. And we coming back with him, because I truly believe with all my heart that the scripture supports that the church will be caught out of here before the tribulation. Because when Jesus come back to step down on the Mount of Olives, that's going to be at the end of the tribulation, and he's coming to set some things right. Set some things straight. Amen. Hallelujah. But in verse 3 again, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And I'm reading from the New King James, okay? And Jesus answered and said to them, now I want you to notice something here. He told them that the temple is going to be destroyed. And you better believe that got their attention. And so they're asking him now, Lord, when are these things going to take place? And it's very interesting how Jesus responded to them. He said, take heed that no one do what? Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Now they ask him, when are these things going to take place, Lord? But the first thing Jesus said in response, take heed that you're not deceived. Hallelujah. There are folks that can take the word of God and twist a few things and try to make it say what they want it to say in order to deceive. So Jesus said, take heed that no one deceive you. Verse 5, he said, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And he goes on. I won't read it all. And look at verse 11. Then many what? Many false prophets will rise up and do what?
Deceive many.
You've heard me say this so many times. And I mean it. Lord, help me never to believe a lie. I'm serious about that thing. We're in the last days right now as I speak. Matter of fact, you know this, we are in the last of the last days. And the spirit of deception is increasing.
Amen.
I got friends. Some friends that was in ministry. Been deceived. You know one of them, a couple of them. Fellowship with them. And services with them. I don't know what happened, but the door was open somewhere. And now they no longer believe. Listen to this. And we're going to get there. Now they no longer believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Jesus knew that was important when he said, see that you be not deceived. Hallelujah. All right, let's go back to 1 John chapter 4. So verse 1 again, I'm going to read on. Say, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know, this is verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Listen to this. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, if they're trying to give you some other God, prophesying to you or whatever, don't you bite on that hook. Hallelujah. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ have come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world. Now hear what this is saying, which frankly, you know, I could be wrong, but frankly, I believe that the Antichrist himself is already in the world, just hadn't been manifested, because he can't be revealed until that which hinders is taken out of the way. Anybody know who that is? The church. Hallelujah. Amen. You got a whole bunch of praying people and people casting out devils and so forth. You can't operate in that atmosphere. We got to be out of here so that the world is all unbelievers. Then he can move freely, do his thing. So he may be here. I kind of think he is, but I could be wrong. I make that statement. I could be wrong on that, but I believe he is. But let me tell you what is here for sure. The spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist. And that spirit, excuse me, that spirit is at work in many people. The spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist means that they are against Christ. Now, they may lie to you and tell you they love him, or that they are working for him. But what are we to do? Test the spirits. And I'm not saying walking around looking suspicious, all squint up, trying to, you know, look spiritual and just be yourself and walk with God. You got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You hear what I'm saying? Have you ever seen those people that try to be spiritual? You know, they try to look spiritual, get a certain look on their face. They look at you trying to look spiritual and you're thinking, whoa, what's going on here? You know, no, just be you. But be sharp on the inside. Read it to you again. And every spirit, this is 1 John 4:3. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. I'll tell you this, sometime you might need to ask some folks that's talking to you. Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in. Look at verse 4. Receive verse 4 for yourself. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. All the deceivers, the spirits of deception is of the world, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Amen.
And you need to remind yourself every day of your life, the greater one lives on the inside of me. That is the Spirit of the living God. He lives on the inside of me. Hallelujah. And the Spirit that lives in me is greater than the spirit of the world. Hallelujah. Y'all born again out there, testify by show of hands. All right. Say, make this confession after me. Say, I am of God.
I am of God.
And I have overcome them.
Because
he who's in me
is greater than he who is in the world.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to quit here in just a few minutes, but I want to read you verse 5. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He who knows God hears us. In other words, glory to God. Those of us that are of God, I tell you what, we recognize each other. Glory to God. When we begin to speak, our spirits bear witness with one another because we have the same spirit. The Bible says our spirits bear witness with us that we are the children of God. And I tell you what, when I meet another brother or sister and we begin to talk about the things of God, man, I tell you what, my spirit just shouts on the inside of me. Glory to God, because I'm being blessed. They are being blessed. Hallelujah. Help me with this. We'll do that later. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. Verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. When you know the truth, and the person that's trying to minister to you rejects the truth, you know something's wrong here.
Yeah.
Anybody other than me ever had that experience dealing with folks? You just know, whoa, this is not of God. This is not of God. Now, I know sometimes folk just plain immature and hadn't been taught. Sometimes that happened. They still got to learn some things. But there are some folks that are dogmatic about it, man. You can't tell them nothing. I know. And they're just going crossways the word of God every way you look at it. Amen. Now, this is something very important here, and I'll probably close with these last few verses here. Look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Now, we're being taught about the Spirit of God and false spirits, right?
Yes.
Now we're down at verse 7. And it says, beloved, let us love one another. Wow. That is powerful right there. First John is a love book. When we walk in the love of God, and I've told you this many, many times, when we walk and live in the Word of God, that's like a shield that keeps us in place. But when you're fussing and fighting and you're angry, that can open the door for deception. I want to show you something. I'm getting ready to close. Paul, you can come on up if you'd like. But I want to show you something as I get ready to close this out. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13th chapter. 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, the very first verse. I love to be used by God, don't you?
Amen.
Oh, it's such a blessing to be used by God. But if you want to be used by God and not be deceived, matter of fact, you need to read this whole chapter, but I want to read verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become what? A sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. See, some folk brag about how God using them and gifts and all that. Are you walking in love? Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am what?
Nothing.
I am nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. How many of you know it's a good thing to feed the poor? Absolutely. Praise God. We are instructed to feed the poor and to help the poor. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it what? It profits me nothing. Then it goes on. You can read the rest of the chapter and tell you what love does and does not do. I cannot emphasize that enough. Brothers and sisters, let's love one another. And after ministering to us, after what we've heard in the Word of God, then it tells us, brethren, love one another. When we walk in love, it'll keep us out of trouble. You're not apt to be deceived when you walk in love. And I'm talking about the love of God. There's more than one kind of love. But I'm talking about the Word of God, the agape word, excuse me, the agape love of God. and being full of his word. Hallelujah. We become more sensitive. Remember, and I'm closing now. But remember, even miracles that Jesus did, and Jesus was the very essence of love. I mean, he was love. Yes, he was. When he fed the 5,000, the Bible tells us he had compassion for those folks. And because he loved them and had compassion for them in their circumstances, being without food, what happened? God worked a mighty miracle. Amen. Love is a powerful thing. I'm talking about the love of God. I'm not talking about none of this fake stuff. Some folks say, I love you, but they're only saying it to get what they can get out of you. Love says, how can I bless you? How can I bless you? When we walk in love that the Bible is revealing to us, we're going to see more miracles happen. God's going to use us to bless other people. When we lay our hands on them to pray for them, or grab their hands and pray for them, we're going to see God move. Why? Because our hearts are right. Our hearts are right. Praise God. Father, we thank you for who you are to us.